Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
We didn't get to do it yesterday. We had the short show at the round table.
Oh, yeah.
Been too long, Sarah.
Agreed.
Too long.
Patty Kazell was not thrilled that we skipped social studies yesterday.
Did she write a strongly worded letter
to
the management?
A strongly worded text message,
wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks for having our back, Patty. Or Mrs. Kazell.
Yeah, that's Mrs.
Welcome back.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Let's do this.
Okay. Let's do it. Obviously, we're all about the Cardinals on social studies today after their win over the Cowboys last night. So we are going to start.
There's one non-Cardinals question.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to ask you about that. Okay. We're 3 out of 4 about the Cardinals.
Okay.
We'll get to the piano men later. I don't know what that's about. All right. Kyler Murray, we will start with him. Grading him. Letter grades for Kyler Murray this season so far in these 4 categories. How would you grade him as a passer, as a runner, as a decision maker, and as a leader?
Ooh, let me get out my red pen.
Yep.
Passing?
C-A-B-B.
Wow. I would agree. C on passing, A on running. Yeah, I mean, I think those are very fair grades, but accurate. I don't think you let him do any extra credit to earn those grades, did you?
No.
Clean the chalkboards?
No.
They still have chalkboards.
That's not an adjusted or a weighted grade point average.
Yeah.
Grading
no curves
on a curve.
Here.
Yeah, right.
So, I'm only giving out 2 B's.
This is probably a pretty obvious answer, but I'm going to ask you guys anyway. The C for passing, what can he do to make that a B or even possibly an A?
Complete more passes.
How come I knew you were going to say that? I don't know. I don't know what it is that's leading to these accuracy issues. I don't mind. I don't mind what Lorenzo Alexander just said. He just said, you know, just start a game and get him running, get him doing some things, and just get it going. And then maybe everything is a little more natural. I don't know.
I'd sign up for that. Although I'll take a C passer if they win by 28 points every week.
True. I have a feeling
I don't think that's
gonna
happen.
Be the case. But yeah, that certainly would be nice. Okay, B on decision making and B on leadership. Is there anything in particular you'd like to see out of him?
I think he needs to improve his penmanship.
Don't we all?
No. And I think I would guess that the grades are probably right along those lines from our listeners.
Yeah, pretty much. Some people threw in like B minuses, C pluses, that kind of thing. Oh, we have a D for decision making from Jesus Gutierrez.
I saw that, yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of C's and B's, a couple A's thrown out here and there. But I think people are being pretty honest with themselves, which is really all we can ask for.
A lot's happened since he was an MVP candidate, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, also think about just from last year. Last year, all year long, we're talking about when is he going to run more? When is he going to show what he can do? I thought this guy was a great runner. Now, that's by far his best trait and what he seems to be most comfortable doing and best at, and it's the passing.
But we know he's not comfortable doing it. He said he's not comfortable.
Right.
That's what he's best at. That's the conundrum here.
He gets comfortable. Look out.
I know. Right?
All right, it's time to go to the poetry portion of today's class. Write your best 2-line poem or 1-rhyme poem, Jarrett, about the Cardinals' win over Dallas last night. I've got some great submissions, but please, yours first.
Oh, I didn't write one.
You didn't?
You didn't write one?
Seriously?
You want to do yours?
Do yours again
bars?
From earlier.
Yeah, okay, I got to find it.
Okay, do you want me to read a couple while you're searching?
Yes.
Here, I got mine. I've got mine. Here is my submission. Roses are red like Andy Dalton's hair, and just like the honey badger, Buddha don't care. Yeah.
Snaps.
Yeah,
snaps,
thank
snaps,
you.
Snaps. Yes,
thank
that was
you.
Good.
Masterpiece.
There we go.
Remember when every Monday I used to do a poem about the Cardinals game and everyone hated it?
Yeah.
Poetry. And I did it all year long.
Yeah. Right.
And now
yes,
just
everybody did hate it. You're right. That is very true.
Yeah.
The singing, is much better, if you can believe that.
Thank
way
you.
To show restraint.
Because we know that's what Jarrett Carlin is known for.
We could pull back the curtain because in last year, we did all of our shows from the Cardinals Dignity Health Training Facility.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the poem came up, the face that would come over, the face that Bickley would make.
Like, I don't know this guy.
No, it was me, too. I hated it, too, Jared.
Right. Thank you, Vinny.
I learned and I grew.
You did.
Yeah.
We've got a couple responses.
Jonathan Hayward.
Yeah, that's what I was going to read.
Go ahead. You read. Go ahead,
okay.
Sarah.
I like watching our safety named Buddha. It might sound cheesy, but he's very Gouda.
Oh, winner!
Jonathan Hayward!
Winner. And then somebody responded to him, well crafted, and they spelled crafted with a K.
Bless.
Good stuff.
Bruce Johnston says, 'Twas a night to remember, the 19th of October. The Cardinals won big. Jerry Jones's season is over.
Mm.
I love this one by James Decker. Roses are red. Violets are blue. Ezekiel Elliott, we all thank you.
True.
Yeah, true that.
No doubt.
And then let's see, one more. Let's go. One more from Connor Greenwall. Shout out to Connor, who apparently drove to Arlington. He says...
I saw his tweets.
Drove 15 hours to see it Monday night. Never thought the Cardinals would show this much might. Good for you, Connor.
Like Kyler Murray can't complete a pass, but it doesn't matter when the defense busted the other team's took us.
Yeah, that didn't rhyme, Jared.
Oh, I wanted to keep it clean.
Oh, that's good. All right, another question for you guys.
My first draft of a poem is not very good. I'm going to work on another one.
We're workshopping it? Okay.
Anytime you beat the Cowboys, a good thing, methinks. But let's not forget, Dallas flat out stinks.
It's good.
Even after a Dallas loss, ESPN was still on the Cowboys' jocks.
Kind of rhymes.
That was a good one. All right, young players. Isaiah Simmons, Andy Isabella. Dan Bickley, last night in your column, you wrote that Andy Isabella, particularly on those deep passes, he is, quote, absolutely terrible on most occasions.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
I think it's fair.
Yeah. I think it's unfortunately the truth here. I'm going to vote for Isaiah Simmons in this because I think Isaiah Simmons is more important to the long-term good of this organization. I don't think Andy Isabella will ever be more than just a bit player on this team at best. So that's kind of my thoughts right now.
I agree. And I'd like, a player with that speed, I think, can be a real useful weapon. But you can't catch. And if you miss on a late second-round wide receiver, that's a lot different from missing on a top 10 game-changing linebacker.
And it's only because he has the connection with DK Metcalf.
Right.
Yeah. That people are extra disappointed.
Who's already the greatest receiver that's ever lived.
That's right. So the question was, which young player are you more concerned about, Isaiah Simmons or Andy Isabella? 59% say they are more concerned about Isaiah Simmons. 41% say Isabella.
I'm surprised it's that close, quite honestly.
No, I kind of am too. And our final question, I forgot to ask you for the context on this one, Jarrett. The four option
Bickley began the show with a story about Phil Collins and his ex-wife.
Yeah.
That she locked him out of his mansion and hired security to keep him out.
With her new husband.
With her new husband. Yeah. Phil Collins married a girl who was 22 years his junior at one point in time. They got along swimmingly for a while. They got divorced. They got back together. And then she left him for a young musician, then brought the young musician back to Phil Collins' mansion in Miami. They hired four armed security guards to guard the outside of the mansion so nobody can come and kick them out.
What?
Yeah.
Can you clarify, though? You said got back to... Did they get married again a second time?
Don't know.
Because that's key for me. If that's the case, this is totally on Phil.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so
we said earlier there must be some kind of misunderstanding. There must be some kind of mistake. He waited in the rain for hours. She was late.
Billy, don't you lose my number.
So the question is, who is better, Phil Collins, Billy Joel, Elton John, or Paul Simon?
My personal preference?
Yeah.
I'll go worst to first. Paul Simon fourth.
Dang.
Ugh.
Even with Graceland?
Paul Simon fourth.
Okay. I hear you. Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm going to go Elton John third, Phil Collins second, and Billy Joel first.
Oh, my God.
I'm starting Elton John. I'm sitting Billy Joel, and I'm cutting the rest.
You're cutting Phil?
and Paul.
Yeah. He's going through there a hard a, time there, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, he should give up those easy lovers.
Oh!
Okay.
Yeah, she'll right. take Let's your heart, just, but you won't feel it.
That's right. Elton John wins the poll 41%. Correctly so.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Billy Joel.
Wait until the Billy Joel
Elton
movie
John's,
comes out, though.
Elton John's career is bigger than Billy Joel's career.
Without
Not by a ton,
yeah.
but it is bigger.
Elton John's fantastic.
Derek Jeter is better than Albert Pujols.
Oh, boy. Overall.
And Michael Jordan is definitely better than LeBron James. And your songs are definitely better than your whack poetry.
And shampoo is definitely better than conditioner.
All right, I think it's time for me to tap out.
This is Hot Take Central.
Can we just carry social studies to the bottom of the hour?
Can you just stick around till 2 o'clock?
I'll be here.
She'll be here, yeah.
I feel like I ran a marathon today. I mean, I assume that this is what it feels like.
Someone right. get him a foil.
The lactic acid that is built
hydrate,
up in my leg.
Vinny,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, hydrate.
Social studies every day at 1 o'clock with Sarah Cazell. Coming up next, a little revisitation. We'll look at some of the quotes from Cliff Kingsbury today. As he joined us for his weekly visit after the 28-point win over
Tito's
the Cowboys.
Tito's vodka, baby.
Straight ahead, it's Pickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com. After the big win on Monday Night Football, how confident are you for the Cardinals matchup with the Seahawks on Sunday? Your choice is very confident Cardinals are going to win. Somewhat confident Seattle's a great team. Or not very confident this team has flaws.
I'm very confident. I think Seattle's due for a loss.
Ooh, I'll cast the vote for you. You are in the 10% category. A very confident Cardinal.
I'm in the
fan.
Homer category.
57% in the middle, somewhat confident. 33% say this team still has flaws. They're not very confident. However you feel, you can cast your vote, make your feelings known. It's the Sanderson Ford poll question on ArizonaSports.com.
Did you get your few Coors Lights last night, Cliff, after the game?
I did not. I'm saving those for the bye week. We've got like five more days. So.
All right, brother.
And how much
make it.
How much grief do you get for not drinking a Texas beer, Cliff?
I mean, my go-to is Tito's Vodka, which is a Texas
there, there you
vodka,
go. That's,
so.
That's the best there is.
That's my go-to.
Yeah, I was going to maybe suggest a good Shiner or something like that.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. No doubt.
We get to the heart of all the issues. Is this like a 16-bit version of Blue Monday by New
this
Order?
This is in the Vince folder. I don't know.
Of course
it sounds like
it
a
is.
Nintendo version.
Of course it is.
I thought I heard your words.
Tell me how.
It's amazing to me how un-rock and roll the music on this show has become over the course of time.
What happened to all the crunchy guitars?
Yeah, tell me. What happened?
Oh, it's a mix.
I have no idea. Like, the original of that song is great. I don't know what that crap was. Sounds like you're playing it on a Super Nintendo.
All right, Cardinals have released T.J. Ward from the practice squad. They brought back D.J. Foster.
To the practice squad.
Goodbye, to T.J. Hello, squad. D.J.
Yeah, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, made a series of moves today. They've re-signed offensive lineman Rick Leonard to the practice squad, activated running back DJ Foster and tight end Justin Johnson to the practice squad from the practice squad injured reserve list. In addition, released Kentrell Bryce, Jalen Davis, and TJ Ward from the practice squad. TJ Ward, we hardly knew you.
Yeah. Yeah.
some more pressing again. Issues from our interview with Cliff Kingsbury. I think when we look back at this football game years from now, this might be known as the Buda Baker game.
Could be.
I think Buda Baker is going to win the Defensive Player of the Week award in the NFC this week. Pro Football Focus had him ranked as one of the highest defensive players, a single game grade, 92.6, something he's never done before. But here was Cliff Kingsbury talking about his safety who showed out last night.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. I mean, y'all watch the game. It looks like 32 is, there's three of them out there. And the intensity, the fearlessness that he brings, the other guys feed off of. And when he's out there, we're just a different team, not just defensively, but offensively, special teams. He brings so much. And, you know, this past week, our captains came to me with Chandler being injured and thought it was the appropriate thing to add Boot as a captain. I can't think of a more deserving player and person, and so what an awesome honor for him.
I don't want to start like any controversy because.
But why wasn't he one in the first place?
Because they did have two players on the defensive, three players. Corey Peters, who I think is worthy of a captaincy.
Uh-huh.
Patrick Peterson recaptured his C this year. Chandler Jones had a C this year.
But
if everybody would always say Buda Baker's, you know, our heart and soul on defense. And
not only that,
the game that he missed, it was pretty evident.
Right. And the way that teammates say it, they make it like, and it's not even close. I think Fitz said you can take that to the bank, something like that. Uh-huh. So the players have made it very, very clear who is the best player on defense. And it's not Chandler Jones, and it's not Patrick Peterson.
Forget about best, most important.
Yeah.
Because we've now seen games without Buda and games without Chandler.
Uh-huh.
And who did they miss
There's
more?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And part of why Buda Baker played so well was the defensive scheme put forth by coordinator Vance Joseph. Here's what Cliff Kingsbury told us about that.
You know, I think week in, week out, he does a tremendous job. But you could tell throughout the week those guys were dialed in, had great focus pregame, great energy, and they flew around and were competitive the entire night against a high-powered offense who'd been throwing the ball over the yard. When Dawn came in the week before, you know, they had some big drives to go win that game and tremendous receiving core, and I thought our guys did a great job of answering the bell.
Well, they're going to get a similar test from a receiver standpoint this week. Elliott didn't have a good game last night, obviously was instrumental in that loss for Dallas. Mm-hmm. Chris Carson's a really good physical running back. From a receiver standpoint, I think we were both pleased with the job that the Cardinals did on the big three receivers for Dallas. You go into this week, Lockett, Metcalf, and Moore. They probably don't get the same pub as the Dallas receivers do, but they're all really good.
Yeah.
The difference is you're doing it against Russell Wilson as opposed to Andy Dalton.
And that's, I mean, you're going up against one of the very best in the game now. So the challenge is obvious, and the challenge is going to be fierce. But I think that if you want to talk about mindset and momentum, the Cardinals probably couldn't be in a better place coming out of a football game, because if you were the Cardinals going into the Seahawks and going into a game against Russell Wilson, I think you'd want to come out of a game where your defense showed out and starred the way they did, because mm-hmm. that would make you go, okay, you know what? Maybe we can handle this guy. And as a corollary, all the untapped potential that remains on offense, it's still like a tease. It's something that we all can look forward to and say, all right, we think this is going to happen. And when it does, man, is it going to be good. You can do that. You can look at it that way after a win. You lose a couple games you shouldn't be losing to bad teams. That's when you go, all right, come on. What's up with this offense? Why is it not functioning? You win like you do last night. Once again, you don't apologize for road games ever, and then you now have got at least a two-game winning streak. Take it into this thing, but I think it's more important to establish a new standard for defense under Vance Joseph going into a game against Russell Wilson. We'll see how it works out. Mm-hmm. You never know what to expect in these Seattle games. They have owned the Cardinals in Arizona, and the Cardinals have owned them in Seattle. It's the darndest thing.
It is one of the weirder notes in any division rivalry currently in the
really
NFL.
Really is.
Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast, and it is brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. Week 6 is in the books around the NFL. We'll hit on some of the big league-wide storylines next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Over. So many things that I want to say.
are a few songs, in my opinion, Vic, that conjure up feelings of the 80s more than this one.
Yeah, this one will do it.
Yeah. And we're playing it for sad reasons today. This is The Outfield, who hit with this song, Your Love. It became a huge hit, hit number 6 in 1986, but their lead singer, Tony Lewis, passed away today at the age of 62.
Makes me always think of Eric Burns. This was Eric Burns' walk-up.
Yeah. There was a pretty funny Saturday Night Live sketch based around this song, too, a few years ago. You know what the original name of The Outfield was?
I don't have a clue.
They were the Baseball Boys, which is
really
weird for an English band, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, the
I'd
record
say
company
so.
Said, we need to change that, so they went with The Outfield, but still a baseball theme.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Tony Lewis. Song of the day brought to you by Sonic. Head to Sonic now because happy hour starts at 2 o'clock. Drive into your nearest Sonic location for half-price drinks and slushes. Some NFL news to let you know about. And that we mentioned it earlier in the show, but during the splash, the Miami Dolphins made a decision. They're going to hand the keys of the offense over to Tua Tagovailoa. Here's ESPN's Adam Schefter explaining.
Dolphins are on a bye week. They felt like the bye week was an ideal time to do this. It gives Tua an extra week to ramp up physically, mentally, and to get ready for the next home game against the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, I for one, like, I could care less really about the Miami Dolphins on a week in, week out basis.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited to watch Tua Tagovailoa play.
Oh, so am I. Big fan
of
the kid's game.
Yeah.
And what I love about him is he's one of these guys that is so spiritually connected with the game of football. It is everything to him, and I love guys like that.
Did you see the image of him after the game?
It was unreal. Went and sat on the football field, soaked it back in, emptiness everywhere. Yeah,
full, in full uniform. And apparently he called his parents while he was still in full uniform, sitting on the 15-yard line all by himself. In a game where he got, his debut, and he completed two passes in garbage time against the Jets. But that's one thing we know about him. High profile playing at Alabama and how instrumental his father was in everything that he's done football-wise. It's, it's a really cool story. And
yeah, it really is.
Another aspect to it that makes it cool is the way that Ryan Fitzpatrick handled it initially when Tua came into the game leading the cheers. And we know that about Ryan Fitzpatrick. You could poke fun at some of the things. He's had a really nice career, but he's played on a ton of teams. And I would guarantee you 99% of the teammates that he's had on all those teams he's played for love him because of the way he carries himself.
No, listen, I think that's absolutely, I think that's very, very accurate. And I think Miami's making a good call here. People are saying, well, wait a minute, why don't you just, you're 3-3 and you're doing good and you've got some winnable games here. To me, you know what Ryan Fitzpatrick gives you, and you know where that season's going to lead, and you know what it looks like. And if this kid is your future now, you've groomed him a little bit, you've given him a taste, you've got some manageable games, and if he hits his stride, they can make something happen right now. I'll tell you what, this Brian Flores guy, he might be the rare exception, the rare Belichick disciple that actually carves out his own thing, rather than trying to be Bill Belichick Part 2 and failing miserably.
Remember last year, everyone couldn't believe they benched Rosen for Fitzpatrick when they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they wound up winning some games, actually.
And that didn't make much sense either because, I was one of the people that assumed the Dolphins aren't going to win any games last year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well figure out what you have in Josh Rosen. And they decided, okay, because he wasn't the only, they got rid of a lot of talent. Kenyon Drake was made available by Miami. They traded Laremy Tunsil. They did those moves. They got Minkah Fitzpatrick was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They said goodbye to a lot of talent, and they still won games. I agree with you. I think Brian Flores might be the exception to the
rule.
To the rule on the Bill Belichick assistant coaching.
Yeah. Now think of what that means for the Cardinals. Their next four games are all against mobile quarterbacks now.
Yeah, Wilson, Allen, and
Tua, and then Wilson again.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean
that's quite a difference from Joe Flacco and Andy Dalton.
That is true.
That they've played recently, Matthew Stafford.
Looking at the schedule going forward for Week 7, some interesting games on that schedule. unfortunately, the Thursday night game, the return of Thursday night football is not interesting, but we get to see a rough and tumble NFC East showdown between the Giants and the Eagles.
Oh,
yeah. The winner of that game, wait a minute, that...
Well, if the Eagles win, they're in first place.
If the Eagles win, they'll be in first place.
Yeah, because they have the tie.
Isn't that ridiculous?
The Giants will be a half game out if they win.
Buffalo will break their losing streak. They've got the Jets this week. And I don't know if you've seen the stories, too, Bic, that are suggesting Trevor Lawrence maybe take the tact of John Elway and Eli Manning before him.
Yeah, I don't agree with it, but...
Why would you want to play for the Jets?
Yeah, I think that as a young football player coming out of college, you are opening yourself up to a world of criticism when you act like you're too good for an NFL franchise. When you have never done a thing in the NFL, and now you're trying to pick what franchise is befitting of a player of your pedigree.
Those two guys did it, and it worked out pretty well for both of them.
They both went through a lot of grief to do what they did.
Yes.
But,
people would say, why would you do that? Playing in New York, think of the last few next great Jets quarterbacks. They got the attention. They got the superstar treatment. Mark Sanchez, Sam Darnold. It's not going to help their long-term prospects, though.
Yeah, just think, if Trevor Lawrence does say, okay, I'll play for the Jets, in 5 years, he can be on the Masked Singer, too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. How about that option,
Sam Darnold,
as opposed to going back to school?
No,
he's got eligibility left.
No way.
No. No, you don't want to.
He's too much of a certain number one. It feels like he's the most certain player since Andrew Luck when it comes to quarterbacks, the way people are talking about him.
Yeah. What were you going to say about Sam Darnold?
That was the other name that was floating around Dallas as a possible trade successor for Andy Dalton. And again, Cowboy fans out of their mind. They already want to replace the Red Rifle.
Which is crazy, because like we said, he was supposed to be the best backup quarterback in the NFL. So how could trading for... How about Mitchell Trubisky? Have you heard that name at all?
No.
He might still be the best backup quarterback in the NFL.
Dalton?
Even after what we saw last night.
Yeah. Good point.
Did you see the note on the game last night? I love notes like this, but... NFL research, tonight, meaning the Cowboys-Cardinals game, first time in the Super Bowl era that a team won a game by 25 or more points, despite its leading passer having 25 or fewer completions, or 25 plus fewer completions than the opposing team's leading passer. Andy Dalton completed 34 passes, Kyler Murray completed 9, and the Cardinals won by 28 points.
That's unbelievable. They just don't make, those numbers don't make any sense.
Dalton had a rare stat line, too. Since 1950, only 55 times in NFL history has a quarterback attempted at least 50 passes in a game and averaged 5 or fewer yards per attempt.
What was your Tom Tupa stat?
The last time the Cardinals won a game with their quarterbacks completing less than 10 passes in a game was when Tom Tupa did it in 1991 against the Atlanta Falcons, 16-10. And I looked up, I got to find that stat line. Mm-hmm. You remember Chris Miller?
Former Oregon
quarterback who played for the Falcons for a long time?
Sure.
His stat line was horrific in that game as the opposing quarterback. I got to find this. 1991. The Phoenix Cardinals went 4-12 that year. So this was one of their four wins. Tom Tupa in the win went 9-23 for 139 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Chris Miller in the loss, 13-35 for 220 yards, a touchdown and 4 interceptions.
Wow.
That's Jake DeLome-esque.
I was probably at that game as a suffering season ticket holder. But was probably thrilled about it because the Cardinals won a rare game.
Yeah, a rare victory.
Yeah, coming up next, we'll wrap up today. We'll welcome Burns and Gambo to the show. A little crosstalk on the Cardinals win over the Cowboys. That's straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Big Red Monday with Bickley and Murata, presented by Sanderson Ford. Bickley and Murata,
Burns and Gambo. Big Red Monday Crosstalk. Crosstalk.
First and 10 on the Cardinal 20. Two receivers right. Snap to Murray. Drops back to throw. Looking deep. Airing it out. Middle of the field. He's got Kirk. It's caught at the 40. Kirk at the 30. The 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. An 80-yard strike. Kyler Murray to Christian Kirk. Two touchdowns for Kirk now in the game.
One of the highlights from a 38-10 shellacking by the Cardinals over the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football, and we've been talking about it all day. Thanks again to Cliff Kingsbury for joining us. And now, as we normally do on Mondays, but this week on Tuesday, a little Big Red Crosstalk with Burns and Gambo, who join us now. Boys, welcome to the show.
Good to be
What's
here.
Going on?
You tell me, Gambo.
Gambo, your boy, Booter Baker!
Let me tell you something.
It was one of the great defensive performances we've seen by any player. It really was. I mean, if you think, and there's been a lot of great ones. I mean, we all go back to Simeon Rice and how great he was, and Eric Swan, and it was, you know, Aeneas Williams. That was one of the great performances. The forced fumble was unreal. The read on the interception. I'm glad that the rest of the world got to see what we see every week, just how damn good this kid is.
I mean, I was just going to say, number one, I know exactly what to get Gambo for his birthday on November 27th.
Doesn't he already have one?
That in 2018, too. I went back and looked at a tweet, and it said that Burns was going to get me a jersey two years ago.
And then something popped up, and I got you something else instead.
I think I got a Happy Days CD.
Wow. You guys
Benny Hill.
You guys do gifts? That's cute.
Oh, no. It is.
We like each other.
It's adorable. Yeah, it's adorbs. Is what my teenage daughter would say. It's adorbs. So number one, okay, you're getting the Buddha jersey this year. That's happening. Number two, you think about the long line of safeties in the history of the Cardinals: Larry Wilson, Adrian Wilson,
Tim McDonald, Kwame Lassiter,
Tyrann Mathieu. Uh-huh. If you want to count him as a safety, I mean, there's Tony Jefferson,
Antro
Roll, exactly.
Oh, you're a guy. Okay, Gamble, so can't forget Antro.
There's kind of a long line of, you know, high end performers at that position, and you start going through the names, and you start thinking to yourself, the Buda Baker is putting himself in that conversation and in that club when you think about the all time great safeties for the Arizona Cardinals.
I said it to Bick earlier today. When we look back at this particular game, we'll probably remember this as the Buda Baker game. Not that he hasn't been good. I thought he struggled at the beginning of last year. He came on. He obviously got the big payday, but that was a different level of chaos that he inflicted on the Cowboys last night.
We came in, you know, with a lot of talk about the return of Kyler and Cliff, and when that game ended, I mean, it was the coming out party for Buda Baker for the rest of the NFL if they've never got a chance to see him, because the Cardinals, they don't play on games like this. They just don't. So to have that stage and to play that well, like, I don't know what the grades are, but I would imagine he had 100. I mean, he played
92.6.
Yeah, close.
There was actually five players that had a higher defensive grade than Buda Baker, which I find hard to believe this week.
Yeah, I know. You find it hard to believe. The kid was the kid's just a special player. It was great. It was great to see him on that stage dominate the way he did. I mean, I'll say this, that, you know, and I've said this to Steve Keim, that's the best draft pick he'll ever make. Second round.
Yeah, I mean,
moving up to get him. That's the best draft pick he'll ever make.
Which is possible, but Steve Keim better hope that's not the case.
No, but that's an interesting thought. There's some merit to that. I think I'm stunned at how lost this defense looks without Buda and how okay they looked without Chandler Jones.
It's built for him. The defense is built for him. You see how close he gets to the line of scrimmage? This 3-4 defense is tailor-suited to everything that he does great. It really is a defense that's made for him.
I also thought that, and I agree with Vinny, last night was Buda night, and well-deserved. I thought three members of the Cardinals organization had their apex mountain moment last night as members of the Cardinals.
Okay.
Buda was one.
All right.
Byron Murphy was two.
Two.
Vance Joseph was number three.
I agree.
I think that was as good as we've seen and with Buda, that's a very high mountain to be on, but that's as good as we've seen from those three guys as members of this organization was last night and how they played.
I agree. Bick agrees. We had the same thought during the game last night, and that's kind of where we focused it. Buda was great. Byron was great. The whole secondary really played well, but that scheme and design by Vance Joseph last night, getting creative, bringing pressure from different spots. Andy Dalton great. Looked so uncomfortable.
He did.
That was easily his best game as the coordinator for the Cardinals.
The way the Cardinals took the field defensively, they looked like they wanted to fight. They were acting very predatorial. I was really, really enthused by their attitude and the schematics of it all, the manufacturing pressure right at the get-go to get Andy Dalton uncomfortable right at the start of the game. That's everything I was asking of Vance Joseph. I didn't know he could do it. And credit where credit is due. I've been very critical of him. That was a night for Vance Joseph to shine. And I didn't expect this narrative, but can you think of a better narrative to take into a game against Russell Wilson than the defense having a moment like that?
I think that they, for so many years, were so reliant on one player in Chandler. And now it's a group effort. And, I mean, did Dennis Gardeck not set the tone early with
some of those
pressures and the almost safety in the end zone? I mean, just setting the tone? They had a season-high amount of pressures. I mean, they had 8 quarterback hits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got after it. I mean, pick your right. I mean, they came out, like, possessed. Like, they were just going to dump. I mean, they made Ezekiel Elliott get benched. I mean, you think about what they did. And they're the number 2 defense in the NFL. How did they get so good so fast? Now, again, they got tough games coming up, right? I mean, so we'll judge them by the end of the season. I get that. But right now, they're the number 2 defense in the NFL, points allowed.
Yeah, if they're still there after this stretch where they get Seattle twice, Miami and Buffalo in the next 4 games, then we got something.
Okay, but what if they finish 8th, Vinny? What if they finish 9th?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if they finish top 10,
yeah,
that's a huge improvement.
And they got a chance to make some noise in the playoffs. Now, everything wasn't totally positive. I think Kyler Murray obviously impacted the game in a big way. But when you look at 9 of 24, missing some open throws, I don't think he had the opportunity because of the game flow to correct the accuracy issues because they didn't throw the ball in the second half. But where's your guys' concern level right now on Kyler Murray in terms of accuracy?
You know, it's there, but I it's not my prevalent thought coming out of last night's game just because I do think that the kid's emotions just had to be some seriously choppy waters last night, mm-hmm. right? I mean, going into that building, playing that team on that stage, not that he deserves a pass, not that I'm giving him a pass, but it's almost like one of those, okay, we're gonna take what you did in this game, we're going to set it off to the side, and we're going to remember it, and we're going to think about it, but we're not going to judge you off of it. At least I'm not going to make any final determinations about who you are as a quarterback because of that game, because I think the phrase extenuating circumstances really apply in that moment to Kyler Murray. If he does it 2 or 3 times, then we'll look at this as maybe he does have some kind of yips with his throwing and where he's trying to put the ball. He clearly couldn't put it where he wanted to last night. But I think there were some extenuating circumstances last night that I'm willing to put that game off to the side.
Yeah, I guess I am too. And I'm coming to realize that the growth of him is going to be unique because he's such a unique player, size, and everything like that. So everything with him has the context of its own. What worries me, though, really is it mechanical or is it vision related? And then can you get it fixed soon?
So what are you guys going to talk about today?
Yeah.
World Series.
Yeah, right. Go Rays. Go Tampa Bay.
Big win by the Chiefs yesterday. Man. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Nate Bjorkgren is the new head coach of the Indiana Pacers.
we're going to talk about that at 2:45.
Georgia game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to break it all down.
We'll be listening, boys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Text WIN to 620-620 for your chance to win a twosome at the Auction Southern Dunes Golf Course. That's WIN, W-I-N, to 620-620. We all win with Auction. Thanks to our guests today, Cliff Kingsbury, Lorenzo Alexander. Thanks to you for listening. Got more on the Cardinals' big Monday night win over the Cowboys for the next 4 hours. Burns and Gambo got you. We'll catch you tomorrow here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.